growing more and more common in churches across this country to celebrate the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. We do this because of the impact that he made on our nation, but even more so because of his motivation and his methods. So much of the secular commemoration of his life glosses over the fact that he was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The wider world neglects the fact that at the core of his work was his deep and abiding faith. That the stories of God freeing the Israelites from slavery, the stories of Jesus freeing people from societal oppression, that these are central to Dr. King's narrative. One of the things that I am very conscious of as we commemorate the Reverend Dr. King is that this can easily become an intellectual exercise. We can admire the man and his work, but keep him at an arm's length, in part because he just seems so much larger than life. We see his speech on the Mall. We watch him leading marches, and it seems so far beyond what any one of us will ever do or be called to do. It feels so far beyond that it doesn't shape us. But years ago, I heard a story that I think could help us all to remember that Dr. King was a normal person of faith, just like you and me. If you remember the speech that he gave on the last day of his life, the night before he died, a speech often called, "I Have Been to the Mountaintop," you know that he knew that his life was in danger. In that speech, he talked openly about the people who were trying to kill him, trying to stop his ministry of equality and freedom. He knew that fate was coming for him. And yet, despite that, he persevered for what he knew was right. The next morning, he gathered with his closest advisors at the Lorraine Hotel. They spent many hours discussing and strategizing, and just a couple of hours before he was martyred, he asked those closest to him to circle up in the hotel room and pray with him. As he began to pray, he suddenly stopped. The story goes that he called out to Jesse Jackson, who was one of the young people in the room, "Jesse, your eyes aren't closed. Close your eyes and pray." And Jesse retorted, "Well, Martin, how can you know that my eyes aren't closed unless yours aren't either?" Martin was so flabbergasted by being called out that he reached down, grabbed a pillow, and batted it across Jesse's head, starting a 20-minute, uproariously hilarious pillow fight. The men who were in that room say that those 20 minutes were pure joy, and that silliness amidst them was absolutely life-giving in the midst of the struggle. I share this story because I think it humanizes Dr. King. I think that it can serve as a reminder to us that he wasn't just a brilliant orator, not just a phenomenal strategist. He was also a real person, a person who laughed and joked and had fun with his friends. My title today is Less Reformation and More Transformation. Even more than Dr. King's message, this year I think his methods need to be central to our celebration. For the last 10 weeks, I have been deeply disturbed by the profound divisions in our country. And truth be told, I probably should have been deeply disturbed by these divisions for much longer than that. Like many of you, I just don't understand our current politics. But then I remember that Dr. King, too, faced a deeply divided nation. Yet today, the vast majority of people take his work for granted. Of course, colored water fountains are wrong. Of course, interracial marriage is right and acceptable. But 50 years ago, 50 years ago, it took everyday people to stand up for what was right and not back down. 50 years ago, perhaps even more importantly, it took people who weren't directly affected to commit their lives to the struggle too. Today, friends, I said it that Sunday after the election, and I'll say it again. You are probably sitting in a pew with someone who voted differently than you did, and they are not the Antichrist. The divisions among us are real, but so is the call from God to make our little corner of the world a little closer to the kingdom of God for someone else. In 1985, amidst the extreme politics of apartheid South Africa, several anonymous theologians wrote a paper called the Kairos Document, which includes this powerful reminder. There is nothing that we want more than true reconciliation and genuine peace, the peace that God wants and not the peace that the world wants. The peace that God wants is based upon truth, repentance, justice, and love. The peace that the world offers is a unity that compromises the truth, covers over injustice and oppression, and is totally motivated by selfishness. Let's layer on top of that the great 20th century monk Thomas Merton, who wrote, "What is the relation of contemplation to action? Simply this. The one who attempts to act and do things for others or for the world without deepening their own spiritual self-understanding, freedom, integrity, and capacity to love will not have anything to give others. They will communicate nothing but the contagion of their own obsessions, aggressiveness, ego-centered ambitions, delusions about the ends and means, doctrinaire prejudices, and ideas. There is nothing more tragic in the modern world than the misuse of power and action." And lastly, I offer you to look at the theologian Richard Rohr, the academic dean of the Center for Action and Contemplation. Rohr writes that he sees a deep need for the integration of both action and contemplation. He says that over the years he has met many social activists who are doing excellent social analysis and advocating for critical justice issues, but they were not working from an energy of love, except in their own minds. They were still living out of their false sense of self and the need to win, the need to look good, the attachment to the superior, politically correct self-image. They might have the answer, but they are not themselves the answer. In fact, they are often part of the problem, he says. That's why most revolutions fail. Too many reformers self-destruct from within. And for that very reason, I believe Jesus and the great spiritual leaders first emphasize transformation of consciousness and soul. Unless that happens, there is no lasting or grounded reform or revolution. When a subjugated people rise to power, unfortunately, they often become as controlling or dominating as their oppressors, because the same demon of power has never been exorcised in them. We need less reformation and more transformation. Friends, as we commemorate the life and work of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. at this highly polarized vantage point of 2017, all agree, no matter their politics, that we are in need of profound social change, profound societal transformation. As a people of faith, may we be committed to the Christ-centered transformation, a personal transformation that will lead to godly, lasting change. As our bond of union proclaims, may we be committed to making the Christ Spirit dominant in our lives and in all human relations. May it be so. Amen.